Let's pray. Almighty, merciful God, God, we thank you that we're right at another new year, 2018. And God, we come this morning thanking you for allowing us to live through 2017. And Lord, as we approach this new year, help us to remember that you are our leader and that you are our guide. God, we've done some wonderful things here this morning in terms of praising you through songs and greeting each other and giving of our tithes and our offerings. But now we want to hear a solid word from you, a word that will help us on our journey as Christians. So Lord, I pray that you will open our ears that we may hear you in this sermon. Open our eyes that we may see you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, most of all, open our hearts that we may receive the message that you have for each one of us. And everyone said, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The title of my sermon this morning is God Sent His Son. God sent his Son. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, a great number of people get stressed out, including me. Some studies indicate that it's only natural that stressed out people eat more desserts because stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. If that's true, there's a lot of stress between Thanksgiving and New Year's. The good news is that this is New Year's Eve, and we only have one more dessert day after today, which is New Year's Day. And I am really stressed out. So dessert, here I come. Speaking of New Year's Eve, one week, a Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her class the Christmas story. And after telling the story, the teacher asked, "Who do you think the most important woman in the Bible is?" A little boy anxiously raised his hand and said, "Eve." The teacher asked him why he thought Eve was the most important woman in the Bible. And the little boy replied, "Well, they named 2 days of the year after Eve. You know, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve." But on a serious note, if I had to answer the question, "Who do you think the most important woman in the Bible is?" my answer would have to be Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why would I say that she is the most important woman in the Bible? Because under overwhelming circumstances, she chose to be obedient to God. When God called Mary to carry out and give birth to the Savior, Jesus Christ, Mary accepted the call of Jesus. You've heard the question before, why did God choose to send his Son? And you've heard the answer before. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Eternal life. Most people know this verse by heart, 3:16. God's gift to humans, the gift of eternal life. Think about that for a moment. We tend to focus on life here on earth, but Jesus came so we could have what? Eternal life. What's the most important gift you have ever received? Think about that. The most important gift, the one that you remember. As a wife, my answer would center on the bouquet of flowers that my husband would oftentimes give me. Wasn't a holiday, not Valentine's Day, not my birthday, but he would just come in and surprise me with the bouquet of flowers. As I continued to grow and mature as a Christian, I now realize that the most meaningful gift that I have ever received is the gift of salvation from God through his son, Jesus Christ. And included in the gift of Jesus is unconditional love. Unconditional love. Salvation and forgiveness. When I would tell my husband that I loved him, he would sometimes respond by saying, "Great. Thank you. Now show me by cooking my favorite dinner tonight." In other words, for him, love is an action word. Love is action. God sent who? His only son. Action. God didn't just say, "I love those who were created in my image." His action proved without a doubt that his love for mankind was sincere. He gave his only son. He sent his only son. A man named Nicodemus, I know that you've heard of Nicodemus. He came by night, came in the dark to comment and ask Jesus questions about his divinity. For you see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews, and he knew all about the Jewish laws. He even knew that God had promised that he would send a Messiah. But Nicodemus had some questions about Jesus. So Nicodemus said to Jesus, "I know that you are from God. I know, Nicodemus, Jesus, that you are a teacher." But what really confused Nicodemus was Jesus' teachings about the rebirth. Remember, Jesus said you have to be born again. And Nicodemus said, "How is that possible for me to go into my mother's womb and be reborn?" That was not the rebirth that Jesus was talking about. So Nicodemus was confused about the rebirth. Jesus' reply was, "In order for you to understand spiritual things, Nicodemus," and he's saying that to us this morning, "in order for us to understand spiritual things, we must be born of the Spirit." Born of the Spirit. In other words, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the Son of God. And in order to be born of the Spirit, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible teaches that God created human beings in his image. This means that he enables us to have some understanding of who he is. Not complete understanding, but we are created in God's image. So our human nature reflects some of God's attributes. We love because we are made in the image of God, who is love. Because we are created in his image, we can be compassionate, we can be faithful, we can be truthful, we can be kind, we can be patient. But, there's a but here. But in us, these attributes of love and patience and truthfulness and kindness can be distorted by sin, which also resides in our nature. So we have the image of God in us, but we also struggle with right and wrong. We struggle with loving unconditionally. But that's why Jesus came, to teach us a new way. Genesis 1:26-27 says, then these are the words of God. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. And we have part of God's DNA, his image, in us. God sent his son to give humans a second chance, and his gift is offered to all. For John 3:16 begins by saying, for what? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave without bias. Love does not discriminate. God's love does not discriminate based on age. As we get older, I have an AARP card, and I've had it for some years. I won't tell you how many years. But as we age, sometimes people will forget about us, but not God. So he does not discriminate against those who are with AARP cards. God loves all human beings. He does not discriminate based on gender, ethnicity, economic status, or social status. For his gift is offered to all who will accept his son, Jesus Christ. By grace, we're invited to believe. Every human being, by grace, we are invited to believe. By faith, we accept the invitation. God loves, God gives, and we believe that we will not perish, but that we will have eternal life. When we embrace God's love, his love overflows in our lives. Scripture after scripture confirms God's love for all who come to believe in his son. For example, in Ephesians 2:4-5. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, there's that word again. Nothing that we've done, but by grace you have been saved. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, this is what he says. He says that even before we accepted Jesus Christ, we were given prevenial grace. In other words, God gave us grace even before we accepted his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, God began being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Here's that word again. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. Not only are we loved by God, we are loved by his son, Jesus Christ. In John, the 13th chapter, the 34th and 35th verse, Jesus says this to his disciples. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to us today. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then in John, the 15th chapter, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And then in John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus, our friend, laid down his life for each one of us. For each one of us. Not only Paul, how many of you remember Paul? Paul was a persecutor of the Christian faith. Didn't want anything to do with it. But one day on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. And so after Paul came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, listen to what he says in Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm a new person. I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not only is God's love unconditional, it's everlasting. God's love has loved us. God's love has been with us. God has loved us from the very beginning and continues to love us. Listen to what God tells Jeremiah to tell the people. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I continue my faithfulness to you. I will continue my faithfulness to you. Whatever we go through, know in your hearts of heart that God is faithful and that God will see you through. I believe that unconditional love is a product of faithfulness. Unconditional love. We are faithful to the person. We are faithful to our children. We are faithful to our spouses, our neighbors. Unconditional love. Psalms 86 speaks of God's faithfulness. For Psalms 86 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God's gift of love is unique. It's unique. Nobody can duplicate his gift of love for his creation. I've told this story once before. I hope you won't get bored by it. But there was a group of scientists who went to see God one day and said, we want to have a meeting with you, God. And God said, okay, come on. And they said, God, we have finally figured out how to produce human beings. And God said, really? I said, that's interesting. Show me what you're talking about. And the man reached down to get some clay. And God said, no, get your own clay. Get your own clay. In other words, I am the creator of everything. Nothing is created without my creation, is what God says. God's gift of love through Jesus come with a lifetime guarantee because God gave with a purpose. For whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We are loved by God on earth and will be loved by God in heaven. God's love is one of a kind, everlasting. How should we respond to God's love? What about thanksgiving and praising? What about getting up in the morning and thanking God for what God has done and praising God for what he has done and what he will continue to do? Psalms 136 says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Colossians says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. What about trusting God in all situations? Read Romans, the 5th chapter, when you go home. It says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering. Even in our suffering, we can rejoice because God is faithful, knowing that suffering produces what? Endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given, the Holy Spirit, who has been given to each one of us. When Jesus was getting ready to leave, to go back to his Father, he said to his disciples, he says, I am getting ready to leave, but I am going to send a comforter to you, a teacher. And that teacher and that comforter would be the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're not alone. The Holy Spirit continues to be here, acting on the behalf of Jesus Christ. Let me close by sharing a few Christian quotes about God's love from various teachers and preachers. Augustine says, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God loves you as if you're the only one. God doesn't love Aretha any more than he loves me. He loves us all the same. All the same. Doesn't love millionaires or billionaires any more than he loves the poor. He loves all of us the same. The second quote comes from Rich Warren. Warren says, God is love. God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. And that is the most amazing thing. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us to be part of his family. When the time comes for you to die, says Charles Spurgeon, he says, when the time comes for you to die, you need not be afraid, because death cannot separate you from God's love. David Jeremiah says, saving us is the greatest and most created demonstration of God's love, the definitive display of his grace throughout time and eternity. Jerry Bridges says, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in the scripture. It is true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with his beloved Son. God sent his Son for all humans. When I was young and coming up, I used to hear my mother and grandmother and the older people would say, never question God. But as I became older, started my relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and attended seminary, I have come to learn that God wants us to come and ask questions. God doesn't have a problem with that. How will we get the answers if we don't ask? It's okay to say to God, God, I don't fully understand who you are. I don't fully understand who your son Jesus Christ is. Will you help me? Will you help me to grow to understand? For God is a loving God. As 2017 comes to an end, we here at Palm Coast United Methodist Church remember and hold dear to our hearts those members who have gone to be with the Lord. Steve and I talked, and Steve put together a short video in remembrance of those who are no longer with us. They are no longer here on earth, but they are with the Father in heaven. And Steve is going to show a short clip remembering those who have gone before us. God sent his son. And as you could tell from the video, no age limit, no ethnicity, in God's kingdom, there is just one joyous reunion for all of God's people. Let us stand for our closing hymn.